All right. Well, I have the privilege of sharing the message with you tonight, and I'm excited about that. And before I do, I am going to just open up in a word of prayer. That's the best way to start anything, anyways. So, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this time that we've already spent fellowshipping with you in your presence. And, Lord, right now I just continue to just welcome you. I just thank you, Lord, that your words are truth. They are life and they are light. That they are a lamp into our feet, a guide into our path. And Lord, right now, I just pray that you would guide me along the exact right path that I need to tread on, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it is your words, not my words, that it is your spirit, not anything else, Lord. And we just welcome you. We thank you, Lord, for what you have for us, especially tonight. We just welcome you. Can't say that enough, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A little dry. All right. Well, if you brought your Bibles with you, let's turn to John chapter 6. And if not, don't worry. The scriptures will be up on the board. John chapter 6. And I use the New Living Translation. We're just going to start in verse 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. So the title of this message that I had for tonight is called Give Me a Vessel. And I want to start here in John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. A familiar passage of scripture about Jesus feeding 5,000. Starting in verse 1, it says, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Verse 7, Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather up the leftovers so nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, okay, this is a pretty huge miracle to feed, tens of thousands of people. If it's 5,000 men alone, we can imagine women and children, how many people that was with 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. Significant, huge miracle. But the point that I wanted to, when I was reading about this and studying it, the point that came so clearly to me was availability. Availability is so key here. We start off, there's a huge crowd coming. Jesus and his disciples are there. They see all these people that basically just follow them everywhere, everywhere. People are just flocking around them. And they see these thousands of people coming. And Jesus asks, where can we get enough food to feed all these people? There's no way. There's no way that any of us in our, if we've had family over for dinner, some of us, at least for my if that means all of my family is coming, that is a huge number of people. We got to rent a hall, we got to get a caterer or whatever, but I am not cooking all that much food by myself. But sometimes, at least for me, when I was reflecting on this, sometimes we get so caught up in the problem that I forget to see the resources that are there around me to fix it. Andrew, at least, he was there and he's like, there's a kid here and he's got a couple of bread and 2 fish, but that's all we got. What's that going to do? He saw the loaves and fish, but he still saw the magnitude of the problem. And I've read this passage, and I know that most of us have read this passage several times, and it's kind of one of those things that we just read over like, yeah, that was cool, and then we go on to whatever else. And for the first time ever, when I read this, the Holy Spirit was showing me, you know, what about the boy? What about the boy who gave up his bread and fish? You know, that's all that they said they had. Nobody else had anything else. He gave, whether he gave or they asked for it, we're not, it doesn't really specify. But the point is that he let go of what they asked for or what he decided to give up. He gave up all that he had without knowing whether or not there'd be a return. I mean, he didn't know what Jesus was going to do. The word says Jesus knew, but the disciples, nobody knew. That boy didn't know. He's like, sure, this guy wants my lunch. That's fine. I mean, he was probably kind of happy to give it up. If some guy, you know, anybody, think of somebody famous, I don't know, President of the United States came up to you and asked you, hey, can I have your lunch? You'd be like, sure. I mean, that's awesome. And you get to tell people, guess what I get my lunch due today. Well, he gave it up not knowing whether or not he'd get a return. And something that the Holy Spirit was dealing with me on was that when Jesus asked me to give up something, it's not to make me go hungry. It's to bless and multiply it. God will never ask us to give something to make us starve, to make us suffer in return. He will always use it to feed. I mean, he used it not only to feed the boy, but tens of thousands of people that are around him. So when God asks us to give something, it's never so that we will be in lack. It's so that he can take it, multiply it, and bless not only us in return, but those around us as well. He will always bless us in the process of our giving. Hallelujah. The word says here that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Jesus already knows what we have to give, whether it's a lot or it's little. I mean, we remember that scripture in the word where it talks about the widow's mite, and Jesus and his disciples were standing there, you know, by the offering box. Have you ever had somebody, when you're trying to give in the we have an offering box here, but you ever felt that pressure, you know, like somebody staring at you, watching you give, or, you know, whatever, and it can add a little pressure. Imagine, you know, not that he was doing this, but, you know, Jesus and disciples were sitting there, like, watching people put in stuff, and all these rich guys put in all this stuff, and what does it say, you know, the widow put in two mites, and nobody really thought anything about it, and Jesus said, you know, she gave all that she had, and it was worth more than anything that anybody else gave. So it's not about how much we give. He already knows what we have. I mean, he's never going to ask, he's like, hey, you need to give $1 million to church today. I'm like, that's great, God, put $1 million. You know, he's not going to ask you to give something that you don't have. He already knows what he's going to do with what you have, and it's going to bless you in the process. So the challenge for myself when I was reading this was like, man, I just got to trust God and give. When he tells me, and I'm not talking just about money. I don't want anybody to think that I'm whatever. I'm talking about giving in any capacity, whether that be taking the time to talk to somebody when you're busy. You know, so-and-so calls you and you're like, you see the caller ID and you're like, there goes half an hour of my time. You know, if God is saying, you need to talk to this person, you know, whatever it would be, whatever capacity God is calling us to give, if we obey, he will bless us in return. He will. That's his promise. Hallelujah. So I got to learn to trust God and give when he's telling me to give. And the word says that when we give, that it will be returned to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. More than enough. More than enough. How do you have 12 baskets of leftovers when you got to feed tens of thousands of people? And you know, there's probably some kids in there like sneaking seconds and thirds for later. That's just how I'm learning. I mean, I have a son now, and I have never in my life seen food just go the way that it does. If you have a son, you know, or even Sophia, I don't know. Kids just like, they vacuum it. I don't understand. Anyways, but I mean, there was more than enough to share and to go around. There was leftovers. So what my point is that if we make ourselves available, God will make himself available. He will always show up. If he's knocking at our heart, telling us to do something and we obey, he will always, 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 always show up. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is another one. This is another passage of scripture that's pretty well known. Elijah. It's the account of Elijah, starting in verse 1, Elisha, I get those confused. Anyways, Elisha, starting in verse 1, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "But what can I do to help you?" Elijah asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except for a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elijah said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." So not only was there enough to pay off what she owed, but there was enough for them to live off of. When we obey God, we will get blessing in return, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But what he requires is an open and willing vessel. So the Lord would say to us, if you give me a vessel, I will give you a miracle. If you make yourself available, I'm going to show up. Elisha asked the widow what she had, not what she didn't have. We know in 2 Corinthians 8:2, it says, "Whatever you give is acceptable. If you give it eagerly, give according to what you have, not what you don't have." God's not going to ask us to give what we don't have. She said nothing, well, except for this little flask of oil. We can't get so focused on the problem that we forget to see what we have. God will take lack and make it abundance if we make ourselves available, if we open ourselves to his leading, to his using. So the woman had the flask of oil, but it wouldn't have done. Okay, so she had the flask of oil. She's obeying the guy, Elijah, and there's this miracle. God's just multiplying this oil. Would it have done anybody any good if she's taking that oil, like, "Look what God's doing, look what God's doing," and just pouring it on the floor? No, it wouldn't have done anybody any good. She would have been wasting it. She needed vessels, empty vessels, to pour the oil into, to collect it. Okay, so with that being said, I don't know if anybody noticed, I have this box of pizza, okay? Pizza box. And I want to just for us to imagine real quick, okay? Real quick, you're sitting at home, or you're somewhere, everybody's hungry, you don't feel like making dinner, so you decide to order pizza. Whatever, you know, we don't have that many options down here, so we're going to go with Pizza Hut. We order a pizza from Pizza Hut. Express delivery, we want cheese pizza with, you know, extra cheese, extra cheese, extra cheese. And, you know, let's make it supreme. Let's just put everything on there. So you order this pizza. You guys are starving. Your family, your kids, you know, trying to get them to wait. They want a snack. They want to eat. Pizza's coming. So you hear the knock on the door. You open the door. There's the pizza guy. You can smell that pizza even before you open it. You heard the car. You can smell it wafting through the door. You're so excited. You open the door, and there's the pizza guy. He's standing there holding your pizza in his hand. The cheese is running all down his arm. One piece kind of fell, and he's like catching it, trying to put it back on there. "Here you go. That'll be $12.99. You'd be like, "For what? That mess? I don't think so. What would be the first question that you ask that pizza guy? I mean, he's got it on his hand. You don't know where that hand has been. And that's all over your food. And he's here. He's looking at you like, you know, he's going to want a tip. What would be the first thing you ask him? "Dude, where's the box? Come on." I mean, he's saying that, "Where is the box?" We never really think about a 35-cent piece of cardboard, but it's very important. It's very important, okay? It's been designed to deliver a special product. It's been designed to carry the pizza, you know. There's nothing in here, sorry. It's just a box. Alone, it's not very valuable. I mean, it's like I said, it's a 35-cent. That's crazy, though, 35 cents for this. That's nuts. But 35-cent box of cardboard. But it's not the box. It's what is inside that gives it value. It's what the box carries. You see a box of pizza, and I had a couple people before church started come up and like crack the box. And Mitch, I had Mitch bring that home for me last night, and you should have, I mean, it was awful in our house. He brought that in. Sophia saw it. She's running, pizza! It's not pizza. I want pizza. I mean, you just see the box and you get excited. You get hungry. I have to admit, I want pizza now. But you open it. There's nothing inside there. Sophia literally started crying. I mean, you get disappointed. It's just a box. But we need to realize that we are this box of pizza. We are a pizza box. A pizza box was designed to carry pizza. That's what it's meant to carry. We are designed to carry the glory of God. That's what we were designed to do. That's our purpose, to, you know, carry his glory to the world. Have you ever been in a car that had pizza in it? You know about it. I mean, it lingers for hours. And have you ever gotten in a car and you're like, who had pizza in here? You get like kind of offended that nobody invited you when they had the pizza in the car. At least I do. Let's go get some. But you can smell it coming. You can smell it coming. When we get pizza for youth group nights, we set it up in the kitchen. And half the time, we don't have to tell them when it's here. Kids just start to migrate this way. And it's almost funny, like, let's see how long it takes them. You know, and it's like 2 minutes. You can smell it coming, and you know where it's been. Pizza just has that drawing smell. I'm sorry if you don't like pizza. We'll pray for you. But, you know, it's... And we're like that. We got to realize we have the glory inside of us. We have the glory inside of us. What does that scripture say? Greater is he that lives where? In me than he that's in the world. We are vessels meant to carry the glory of God. Just like a pizza box wasn't designed to hold a hamburger, it was designed to carry pizza. We are designed to carry God's glory to the world. It's what we're made for. So, we all know about smells. Pizza's got a smell. Popcorn's got a smell. There's something about bacon that's just heavenly. I mean, smells are powerful. And we need to think a little bit, as if we're, you know, box holding pizza. What kind of smell are we bringing? It should be powerful. Well, there are certain powerful smells that aren't necessarily attracting. We're not talking about those. Some are repellent. We're talking about attracting smells. And Jesus, we read in when we were reading about when he multiplied the food, that there was just people drawn to him, just drawn to him. Because why? You know, he wasn't going around saying, hail to me, I'm the Messiah, I'm God's son, come follow me because I'm so great. The word says that they followed him because they saw the signs and wonders that followed him. And why was that? Because he made himself available to be used by God in whatever capacity that meant. The word says that Jesus said that I do not do my own will, but I do and say whatever I see and hear the Father do and say. So we are meant to draw people to us. And as I was thinking about that, you know, thinking, do I draw people to myself or do I repel people? And if you notice, you know, there's something about some people that they just have that personality that draws people, that they just walk into the room and they made five friends even though they didn't know anybody 2 seconds ago. I mean, there's some people that just have that gift. I'm not talking about, you're like, well, I'm not an outgoing person, I'm not a speaker and whatever. I'm talking about just emanating the glory of God, his love, wherever you go. Something about you should change the atmosphere of the room when you walk in it. There should be something about you that brings peace on the scene, and people don't even really understand why. Because we should carry that glory and just emanate it wherever we go. Hallelujah. So are we drawing people to us, are we putting them or pushing them away? We are carriers of the glory. It's what we're designed to do. So if you're sitting there like, you're saying I'm a pizza box? Are you saying I'm worth 35 cents? That's all I'm worth? No, that's not what I'm saying. If we think about it another way, think about the Ark of the Covenant. Such a beautiful piece of, What was it? I mean, it was furniture. The ark alone, it was beautiful. It was inlaid with gold and all these things. It was so, so valuable in what it was made of. And the word says that we, God's children, that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, that we have been knit together in our mother's womb, that God designed us with a plan and a purpose. And that's not something to be taken lightly. God put a lot of effort and time and thought into us to plan our destinies out before we were even born. I mean, we have value. That's not what I'm saying. We have value. You are beyond value to God. But it was what it was inside the ark, what the ark was carrying, that made it holy, that made it beyond value, beyond monetary value. And the word says, you know, that we were designed, we were made to carry God. That's what we were meant to do. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and said that the curtain was torn in the temple from top to bottom and the presence of God just went out. Well, the presence of God didn't leave the earth. It went somewhere. And it was designed to be, it's put in us, in his body. We are the new temple of the Holy Spirit. We carry him with us. So, pizza box. People get excited over pizza. They see a pizza box. Another thing, people, a Starbucks cup. I mean, I could walk around and just hold a Starbucks cup that was empty, and just with the little symbol, people are like, where'd you get that? You know, and like, people get excited. Why? Because of what it contains. It's not valuable by itself. And, you know, we think about it, our lives in the span of eternity, you know, the Bible says it's like a blink of an eye, that we're like grass that is here, you know, and then it withers and fades. But it's what we carry, what's inside, that makes us valuable. When you see a pizza box or a Starbucks cup or whatever, and you get excited, why is that? Because you value what they have inside. You value what they're holding. When people see us, they should get excited because there's something in us that they want, even if they don't really even know what it is. If people are constantly avoiding us, then we need to check our contents. What are we full of? If we're repelling people, it's not pizza. You know, something's wrong. So, Acts chapter 3. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah. All right. Acts chapter 3. You know, this is after the Holy Spirit was, after Pentecost, and they received the Holy Spirit, they received the power to speak in tongues, and Peter and John were going to the temple, and there was a blind man that was there by the temple gate. He was asking for money. He was begging. And starting in verse 3, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." And we can go on reading that the lame man, Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood to his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Hallelujah. Peter gave him what he had. It wasn't money. Money doesn't always solve the problem. I mean, the lame man, he was there asking for money for years, and that didn't really help him any. Peter gave him, he said, "I don't have any money, but I'll give you what I have. I have the power of God inside of me, the power of Jesus Christ, and in his name, stand up and pick up your mat and walk." The same with Elijah and the widow. What do you have? What do you have in your house? Well, nothing except for this little flask of oil. What do you have to feed all these people with? Nothing except for these couple loaves of bread and two fish. If we make what we have available, God will take it and multiply it beyond blessing, beyond abundance, beyond what we can think of. If I make myself available to be used, he will not disappoint. It is a promise. So God is saying to me that I'm telling you is he's saying, give me a vessel and I will give you a miracle. Give me a vessel and I'll give you a miracle. Make yourself available. As long as there's an empty vessel to pour the oil into, it's going to keep flowing. And it's not about us. I mean, if we get so fooled up that we have no more room to receive anymore, what happened with the woman in the oil? Once she ran out of containers, it stopped. If we get puffed up because God used us or is using us or whatever, and we don't make ourselves available anymore, it stops. Once we open ourselves up and let him in. Let him do whatever he wants to do. We obey him, whatever he says to do. It's going to keep flowing. Hallelujah. The oil, I mean, we know the word describes oil and the Holy Spirit. They use them as synonyms, the oil of the Holy Spirit. And if all we have is oil, if all we have is the Holy Spirit to get us through, that's more than enough. If all I got is the Holy Spirit, that's more than enough. More than enough. If all I have is some bread and a couple little fish, that's more than enough. Why? Because Jesus is with me. Where is he? He's inside of me. When? All the time. Really? Yes. All the time. Every day. Wherever you are, he's there. He's there. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We are bigger. Who is in us is bigger than the problem. It's bigger than needing to feed 10,000 people. It's bigger than needing to pay off debt. Amen. Amen to that. I mean, God is bigger than the problem. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. A jar is meant to carry something. A pizza box was designed to carry something. We are designed not just to exist, not just to, you know, make money and die or whatever, but we are designed to carry something. A pizza box with no pizza is sad. It's depressing. I mean, a Starbucks cup, I don't really like coffee that much, sorry. So a Dairy Queen Blizzard cup that's empty, that's sad. It's sad to me. Makes me want it. And we were designed by love, through love, and for love to carry out God's will on the earth. And if we aren't carrying what we're designed to carry, it's sad. It's disappointing. Full of potential. Yeah, Blizzard sounds so good. But I don't got one. I mean, we are made to fellowship with God and get full of him, to shine and display his splendor. Isaiah 61:3 says that we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the displaying of his splendor. That's what we were designed to do, made to do. God set up his kingdom that way. I mean, you know, a pizza box is meant to deliver what? A product. You know, a McDonald's bag is meant to deliver McDonald's product. The way God designed his kingdom was that his product would be delivered through vessels. And the vessels are us to carry his presence to the world. The box doesn't give the product, the box does not give value to the product. The product gives value to the box, okay? The box does not give value to the product. The product gives value to the box. It's what's inside of us that makes us valuable. It's what's inside of us that makes us different from the world and from what everyone and everyone else is saying and doing. Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. Greater. And it's about so much more than what we go through and our own personal lives. I mean, that's something that I've been struggling with, is getting my focus off of me, myself, and I, and, you know, the cares of life. I mean, doing laundry and cooking and cleaning and going to work and coming home and taking care of the kids, and one kid's got a snotty nose and another kid's got a diaper and whatever. I mean, yeah, those are all valid and important things, but we have a higher purpose. And God, I mean, my challenge to myself is, through all of those things, I mean, Paul said that he prayed in the Spirit continually, all the time. He made himself available. So that means when Paul was cooking food, he's there, you know, praying in the Spirit, or he's working a job, he's there praying in the Spirit, to make myself continually available to God so that wherever I am, I'm ready to hear his voice and move in whatever capacity he would say move. 1 John 6-9 is John the Baptist, talking about John the Baptist. It says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And I love this scripture. There was concert we had gone to a few years back, and Lecrae was speaking, and he used this scripture as an example, and he said, I'm just the mailman delivering God's mail. I mean, you know, we don't glorify the mailman. We love our mail. Well, I mean, I like getting mail. It's It's kind of fun. Unless it's bills and I don't really like it. Send them back. But, I mean, it's fun to get mail, get a letter in the mail or a birthday card or a Christmas card. We don't glorify the mailman. And it's the same with us. We're just here to deliver what God wants, his product. We're here to deliver God's product to the world. We're here to carry his message, to carry his love, to carry his glory, to bring his miraculous power on the scene. God uses us like, I mean, he's our power source. God is our source. And it's like we are the power cord that takes the source, the energy from one source and makes the light bulb light up. I mean, we're just the conduit that we designed, that was specifically designed to carry his glory. Galatians 5:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are the vessel, and it's Christ in us that gives us value. So it's not our life around us that satisfies us. It's what we have on the inside. I mean, there are people getting saved all over the world. Third world countries, they're not going to these countries and getting people saved and giving them, here's $100,000 to start your life off. I mean, no, people are accepting God and finding satisfaction in him despite their current life situation. Because it's not the world that satisfies, it's God that satisfies. It's Jesus on the inside of us that gives us peace when everything else is crashing around us. What does that psalm say that, you know, though 10,000 are falling on one side and 5,000 and 10,000 on the other side, but you are there with me. You are there with me. So we can't get so caught up in the problems that we forget to see the resource that is there always with us. Jesus on the inside. So you don't have to look a certain way. We don't have to have a certain, you know, cash flow mark before God can use us or whatever. I mean, you don't have to look like a supermodel. All God wants from us is a clean, empty vessel. A clean, empty vessel. You give me something to use and I'm going to use it, God says. I mean, it's what I kept hearing when I was preparing for this is, give me a vessel and I'll give you a miracle. Give me a vessel and I'll give you a miracle. Give me a vessel and I'll give you a miracle. I mean, over and over again in the Bible, when people obeyed, God showed up. Miraculous ways. Miraculous ways. When people obeyed God, he showed up. I mean, and we're sitting here, we're not just us. I'm talking about the church and Christianity. There's something, I mean, I've been to many different churches and you hear about revival all the time and these great things and God's going to do these great things. And to me, I always think like, at least my personal conviction is, man, if I would just start obeying God and doing what he told me to do, shoot, some of the stuff that I would see, some of the ways that God would use me. I mean, there's been prophecies about Douglas. And me personally, I've received some about like the high school, that God is just going to pour out his spirit in the high school, that there's just going to be an outflowing of miracles, that the Holy Spirit is just going to, the specific thing that God had said was that my glory is on the rise. My glory is on the rise. And it is. His glory is on the rise. And he is looking for people that are going to make themselves available to be used and obedient. To usher in that revival, to usher in those signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what an honor and a privilege that God designed us that way. I mean, God didn't make cows to carry his glory. He didn't make, you know, animals and fish and whatever. He made humans, us, with a specific reason to fellowship with him and to be able to withstand his presence and be able to carry that. I mean, to me, it's amazing, amazing. So all we have to do is be clean, be ready, and be empty. You know, here I am, God. Here I am, God. Fill me up, and he'll fill us with his products. He'll fill us with his presence. He'll fill us with his glory. He'll fill us with his will. All those things that we desire so much, when we're obedient, they just come. Hallelujah. So we can't get so caught up in the greatness of the perceived problems around us that we forget our resource, the product that we're carrying. All I have is a flask of oil. All I have is bread. All I have is a couple fish. But we can't forget that we have Jesus in us. So give. We got Jesus in us. So obey. And one thing that, like I said, as I was preparing for it, you know, it's the Holy Spirit was dealing with me so strong about this. And it's mockery to obey God, to do what he's telling you to do, and then to fear that he won't provide for you when you obey. It's mockery. It's mocking God when we do what he's telling us to do and then worry on whether or not I'm going to have money to pay the bills, or worry about, you know, whether or not, you know, we're going to have food on the table. If God is telling us to do something and we do it, he will provide, because that's who he is. He won't put his people to shame, the word says. So whenever we obey him, we have that promise that he's going to return it to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over in whatever capacity we need. The word says that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And it will always involve us being blessed when we obey. Always. Always. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the scripture. Luke 6:38 says, when you give, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, poured onto your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And this is not, this was not about money or tithing or anything like that. It's just about being available and doing whatever God is telling you to do. We got to do it. Because God wants to bring his glory on the scene. He wants to express himself in a miraculous and supernatural way. And I am hungry and longing to see the supernatural become natural in my life. Because I am just available to God. Whatever he says, sure, God, I'll do that. I mean, there are people that God used in miraculous ways. Who was it, Mitch, that raise that guy from the dead. Was it Smith Wigglesworth? Okay. Smith Wigglesworth, awesome man of God, at home with the Lord now. And God called him at a funeral service of a brother, a brother in Christ, God was telling him, you got to raise this guy from the dead. And he didn't want to. I mean, he was embarrassed, like, you know, really? Really? You know, and he obeyed. And three times he went. And he got the guy up, and you can imagine people's shock, and people probably screaming, guys trying to punch him probably, and whatever, you know, he got this guy out of the coffin, and he stand him in the corner, and he said, in the name of Jesus, what did he say? In the name of Jesus, live. In the name of Jesus, live. And he slumped down to the floor. And again, he picked him up because that's what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do. And you can imagine, you know, his wife's probably screaming. His kids are like freaking out. Somebody's calling the cops. I mean, stuff's going down. And he's there and he picks him up and he puts him in the corner. In Jesus' name, live. Slumps down to the floor. If you've ever prayed for somebody and you don't see it right away, you know what I'm talking about. You get that feeling like, oh God, was this really God, or am I just thinking this or whatever? But he knew that it was God, and he picked him up for the third time. He said, in Jesus' name, live. Mitch tells it a lot better than I do. Ask him sometime. He's good at dramatizing this story. But he lived. I mean, miraculous. When we obey God, He makes himself available, and I am guilty of not obeying. I am guilty of letting my fear of what could happen if I did obey outweigh what could happen if I did obey. I don't know if that makes sense. The fear of what could happen, you know, in the natural, like, God, this person's going to laugh at me. I don't know if I do this. I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to, you know, pay bills or go get groceries or whatever. Or if I do this, I mean, what if they don't get healed? Well, what if they do? What if they do? God is looking for people that will make themselves available to be used. He wants to use us wherever we are with whatever we got. We're designed to carry his greatness, designed to be conduits of his glory and his power. And all he wants is a clean, empty vessel, and he'll fill it. He'll fill it to abundance. Colossians 1:27 says that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. John 3:30 says, this was John the Baptist talking, he said that Jesus, speaking of Jesus, he said, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. It's our contents that give us value. It's what we carry inside of us. Because we get so wrapped up in the outside package, what we look like, what we feel like, what we're doing, what we have, that we forget that the real value is in what we're carrying. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself. Because I am, like I said, this is something that God is dealing with me on, is being a willing, open, empty vessel. And I'm excited, and I choose to obey. I choose to listen. And I feel like, you know, God wanted me to share this so that we can all step it up a little bit, to listen a little bit more, be a little bit more attentive. Jesus said that he is the shepherd, and that we are a sheep, and that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. That they won't follow another, but they hearken to the voice of the shepherd. And if we're always there, ready and willing, I mean, there was that video that was floating around Facebook. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was what a dog does when you leave the house. And it showed a dog that was the person left to dinner, and all the dog did was wait by the door, and he would go to a window, and then he'd go to the back door, and he'd go to the front door, and he was just there waiting. My dogs don't do that. They get into the trash. But, you know, if we are there, always ready and waiting to hear, you know, what do you got to say? What do you have to say, Lord? Okay, I'll do that. I mean, imagine if we really live to the potential. I mean, it's Christ in us, and he has no limit to his power. And yet the word says that we can do everything that Jesus did and more, because we have God living on the inside of us. And if we make ourselves open and willing and available, regardless of what the world says and does, if we make ourselves available, God's glory will come on the scene, and his supernatural power is just going to knock people's socks off. We are here to carry out God's will on the earth. And what is his will? His will is for the dead to be raised. His will is for the blind to see, the lame to walk, demons to be cast out. His will is that we bring his glory. I mean, that is his will. Hallelujah. Well, I know I kind of went on and on about this a little bit. It's just something that's got me fired up. And God is doing awesome things. And he is on the increase. His glory is on the rise. And the awesome thing about God is that he is never in lack. He is never in depression. He is never in recession. He's always going forward, always on the increase. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, first of all, that you would count us worthy enough to love us, to create us with such craftsmanship, with such care, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I don't want to take for granted, Lord, the charge that you've placed over me, Lord, over us, that you would put a specific plan and a purpose for each one of us is mind-blowing, beyond my comprehension. And Lord, right now I just ask for forgiveness. I am sorry for the times that we did not listen to your voice, for the times that we did not obey, for the times that we held back when you said open up, for the times that we were selfish when you said give. Lord, we want to be your body that is moving and living, your hands and your feet that is taking your word, your message, your good news, your glory to the world. Help us to listen and hearken to your voice, to recognize when it's you and when it's the flesh, when it's you and when it's the enemy, Lord. Because we just want to obey you. We want to get to heaven and stand before you, and you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, we just ask for your help and your guidance in this issue. We want to be your church on fire, not just sitting here taking up another seat, just filling up another hour in our life, just existing, Lord. We want to live for you, really live for you. Your glory is on the rise. You are doing things, not only in this church, in this community, but in the world, and we want to be a part of that. We love you. We love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, remove anything that is keeping us from being sold out. Search our hearts, Lord. Reveal anything in us that needs to be gone. Reveal any issues that are there that we've maybe swept under the rug or tried to pretend that they aren't there, Lord. Show us the areas that we need to change so that we won't have anything blocking out or trying to put white noise in our heads so that we don't hear you. Lord, we just want to be 100% empty vessels that you fill up to overflowing. We thank you, Lord, that you always fulfill your promises. And we take that to heart. We give you an empty vessel, Lord. We are here. We're here for you. We give you ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your miracles and what you're doing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, if there's anybody here, before we officially close, if there's anybody here that needs prayer for anything, please, you know, you don't even have to come up. If you just want to say it, and we're just going to lift it up together. Lord, right now, I have a sense of urgency to pray for endurance, Lord, for long-suffering. Lord, I just pray for an increase of strength in this church, of the people that have been coming here, Lord, people that are dealing with issues that have been long-suffering in this issue. I just pray for an increase of strength, an increase in endurance, Lord, an increase in faith. And I thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, but it goes out and accomplishes its purpose. So you are always faithful to do what you say you're going to do. You are always faithful to fulfill your promises. And Lord, I just pray for an increase in faith, increase in steadfastness, that they would just stand, that we would stand on your word, not accepting anything else other than victory, not accepting anything else other than healing, than receiving the promise, Lord, that you've given to us. I just pray for an increase in strength. We are your army. You've made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, Lord. You've called us to live in victory and not defeat, and that's all through you. I just pray, Lord, that anybody here that's been going through something that's been long-suffering, Lord, that you would just increase. And I thank you that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is that shines through your victory, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Yeah, and all the time, God is good. That is right. Well, I hope God gave you something tonight in his message, and have an awesome, blessed week. Hope to see you Sunday. Invite somebody. Bring them here. Tell them there will be food after church, and we'll fill them with the word spiritually, and then we'll fill them with food spiritually or physically. So, hallelujah. Well, have a good week, and we will see you soon. Amen.